Hello and a very warm welcome indeed to Quadriga, coming to you from the heart of Berlin. And this week the focus is on the controversial state visit to Germany by Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, who is being given the full red carpet treatment. And on the eve of his visit, the Turkish leader said that he wants to put an end to recent tensions between Ankara and Berlin. But after vitriolic verbal attacks on Germany, the arrests of German citizens and the brutal crackdown on the Turkish opposition, can President Erdogan be taken at his word? The fact is, the two sides need each other more than ever before. Turkey is facing a crippling economic crisis and wants Germany's backing. Berlin, for its part, wants Ankara to release those German prisoners and return to the rule of law. Is a deal possible? Well, our question here on Quadriga this week is, Erdogan in Germany, friend or foe? And to discuss that question, I'm joined here in the studio by three excellent observers and analysts of all things Turkish, beginning with Maximilian Popp, Turkey correspondent for the weekly news magazine Spiegel, who says the German government should use Erdogan's state visit to strengthen democracy in Turkey. Also with us is Deutsche Welle's own Dea Akal, a specialist on German-Turkish relations, formerly based in Ankara, now with DW here in Berlin. And Dea believes that Erdogan is neither a friend nor a foe. Important strategic interests force Germany to talk with the Turkish president, but not, she says, at any price. And a warm welcome too to Dilek Korban from the Berlin-based Hertie School of Governments, who argues that it's high time for the German government to uphold democratic values and human rights instead of its economic, political and security interests in its dealings with the Erdogan regime. Welcome once again to all three of you. I'd like to begin with you, Dilek, if I might. Just tell us why President Erdogan's visit to Germany, state visit to Germany, is so important and so controversial.
Well, it is, to start from the Turkish perspective, from the Turkish government's perspective, it is very important for the government for various reasons. First of all, of course, there's an economic crisis in Turkey, as we know, and the prospects for the prospects are very dark. You know, it's not expected to go to improve anytime soon. And you know, he's facing a huge economic crisis, and this is a government which has actually has succeeded to remain in power for a very long time, partly because of its economic, you know, for the success of the economy. So that's one thing. And then, of course, the deterioration of relations with the U.S. Erdogan is in a search for new or strengthened, you know, sort of new partners, really, or to improve relations with old partners. So there's that. From the perspective of the German government, it is, I mean, the reasons are, again, similar, right? I mean, Turkey is an important, there's, of course, always geostrategy, this sort of magic word that I believe that is a bit of misfortune for Turkey, really, because Turkey's geostrategic importance has always enabled Turkish governments, the current one and past ones, to get away with a very poor human rights record, lack of democracy, rule of law, etc. So there's that. And at a time when the rest of the Middle East is in turmoil, mm-hmm. Turkey's the stability in Turkey is very important for Germany and the other European governments. And of course, we know that there's a large presence of Turkish community here, etc. So for both sides, it's an important visit at the important time.
Okay, but let's be honest. Relations, Dea, between the two sides, Germany and Turkey, have in recent times, for the last 2 years or so, they've been awful. Is this time now, lots of people are saying it is, time for a reset in relations between the two sides?
I understand that Germany views it as a momentum where both sides have to sit and talk about it, because it's not Germany, I mean, it's Erdogan who wanted to visit Germany. So it's understandable that the German government would want to accept Erdogan in Berlin if he wants to visit Germany, then he comes.
Well, let's get this straight. The invitation was issued by the German side in the first instance.
As far as I know, the background information we have is that Erdogan, after the referendum, called Steinmeier and wanted to clarify the situation because the tension was high, and I don't think that Erdogan really believed that Germany would take serious steps. The tension, after the tension, when Erdogan called Steinmeier, Steinmeier said that it was not a good moment.
Frank-Walter Steinmeier, German president.
Yeah, the German president. Mm-hmm. So as far as we know, Steinmeier said that it was not a good momentum. So he called again. And as far as I remember, it was just when on the day the early elections were announced, an official close to Erdogan was in Berlin trying to settle this invitation. So it was, to sum up, it was Erdogan who wanted to come to Berlin to talk about the relations. And it's not new. It's like it happened at the beginning of this year. He wants to settle the tension, because I think he believes that it was just related regarding, you know, the referendum and the domestic issues, that it was not a bilateral tension. He really believed that he could overcome this conflict.
Do you agree, Maximilian? Is that a likely outcome of this meeting here or the meetings that we anticipate here in Berlin?
Well, I agree to the extent that it's like purely opportunistic of both sides, and especially of the Turkish side. I mean, Erdogan was hitting hard against Germany when he thought this will serve his election campaign, and then he made a U-turn, and now he's begging because he knows that he's in trouble and he has so many enemies and he's so lonely. So suddenly he needs a new friend and a friend with money.
That means that Germany has him over a barrel if he's begging. That means that Germany can make,
to a certain extent,
you know,
yes,
big demands on Mr.
Erdogan. And I think that's why this the state visit, there is a certain chance for Germany to also bring forward things that are on the table for quite some while. I'm thinking of like questions about democracy, about human rights, about the state of law in Turkey. To press Erdogan, to push Erdogan in that respect, at least to a certain extent, and they should do their utmost to achieve this. Because I think at the moment, Erdogan for sure is the weaker person in these negotiations, and that gives a certain room of maneuver for the German side. I wouldn't expect too much, but it could be a beginning.
Just give me an idea of what kind of Turkish president we're dealing with. Is Mr. Erdogan a despot, a dictator, an authoritarian leader, or an autocrat? Which of they're the monikers that are used to we need to quantify. We need to know, you know, who we're dealing with here. You know, what his self-perception.
I don't know if
is
the buzzwords are really the thing to like. I used to call him in my articles. I call him a despot. I call him an authoritarian leader. I think that what he is. I believe he's certainly not a democrat.
And Turkey has arrested 30 German citizens at different times. More than 30. Five are still in Turkish.
Right.
Jails, as far as I know, prisons in Turkey.
Exactly, and other foreigners.
Should Germany be rolling out the red carpet to a man like this?
Let me go a bit further back. It's like the Germans and other foreigners who are in jail in Turkey. I mean, this is a clear. That is what people call hostage diplomacy. So Erdogan jails people to get something for it, and that is of course unacceptable in international relations and unacceptable for a country that. Claims to be a democracy. So this is something which Germany has to oppose. The red carpet question, I don't know if it necessarily has to be a red carpet. I don't know if it had to be a state visit or if a working visit, that would have been an alternative that has been the case in the past, would have been enough. I would say yes. I don't necessarily think it has to be a state visit with a red carpet. But in any case, I think there is no other way than doing these kind of things, talking to those kind of people. I mean, Erdogan is not the only autocrat out there. There is Putin, who is far worse than Erdogan. You have Xi Jinping in China. You have now Donald Trump. I mean, if you start only talking to Democrats, you'll be alone at the table very soon.
Okay.
So the state visit is needed. What is important now is the content and the outcome. And there, I expect the German government to be very vocal.
Okay, but just to get a taste of how bad relations between Ankara and Berlin have been, let's go back to early 2017. That's last year, of course. And a comment from President Erdogan after Germany refused to permit campaign speeches in German cities by Erdogan and other Turkish politicians. Let's listen to what he had to say.
Germany, you have no relation whatsoever to democracy. And you should know that your current actions are no different from those of the Nazi period.
Dilek, we've heard that kind of thing several times. That's not just an isolated occasion. It gives one the impression that President Erdogan is a man who cannot be trusted. That he could turn his back away from Europe and European values, values of the West, at any time.
Exactly, and it's not just by discourse, but by his actions, policies that speak to this. He is known to make U-turns. He's known to not to be reliable, and therefore, I think what needs to be done from the German perspective is for the German government to stick to its own principles and values. I mean, going back to what Maximilian said earlier, there are two important distinctions between Turkey and the other countries you mentioned, China, Russia, US. One, that Turkey is still formally in an EU accession country. So it should be forced mm-hmm. to, gear towards democratization.
NATO member.
NATO member too. And secondly, it is reliant, unlike Putin, it is completely dependent on, Germany and the EU. This is really an opportunity to press hard, to try to get whatever, concession that the German government can get, and not just for German citizens. Mm-hmm. I mean, I find, obviously, it is certainly disconcerting from the German perspective that German citizens are in jail in Turkey, but also that elected parliamentarians, Kurdish parliamentarians, elected Kurdish mayors, journalists, academics, you name it, that these people are in jail. And these are Europeans too, right? Because Turkey is also a Council of Europe member. And so I think that there needs to be a holistic approach here, not to single out, German citizens, but to really pressure Erdogan to change course. He will never be a Democrat. He will make such, we can expect him to say such horrible things in the future too, when he feels himself bolstered. But now is an opportunity. Now is the moment where Europe can actually, and Germany can, save some lives, really, in Turkey. And that's a historic responsibility, and I think they need to take that seriously.
Okay, Turkey is currently in the grip of a major crisis, a major currency and debt crisis. Before we talk about what the solution might be, let's have a quick look at the problem.
People in Turkey are paying a lot more for food these days. In August, prices overall rose about 18% compared to the same period last year, as the currency crisis continues. Turkey's economy has slowed down as well. President Erdogan's massive construction projects, including bridges, subways, and mosques, have pushed the country deep into debt. Erdogan may turn to Germany, among others, for financial aid. But relations between the two countries are strained, particularly over Turkey's human rights record. Can Germany and Turkey find a way to get along?
Dea, what does, in this current crisis, this economic and political crisis that Turkey is facing, what does Turkey expect or hope for from Germany?
Well, I think Erdogan hopes to get the advantages it did when Turkey was a EU accession country. He wants to get the same financial support. He wants to get funds. He needs funds because Turkey's economy is depending on the EU. But Turkey is not the same Turkey anymore, and some in Berlin even call it the Erdogan Republic. So, is Germany ready to give Erdogan what he needs? I'm not sure. I think we will be witnessing a change in bilateral relations, but also a change in Turkey's EU process. Officially, it's not ended. But, I mean, you have mentioned the EU process. EU has no leverage on Turkey anymore. What could be a way to convince Erdogan or to make him move in a certain direction is, of course, this economic dimension. And as far as I understand, they're going to try to do that. But
at the moment, the message from the German side is go and knock on the door of the IMF, the International Monetary Fund. That is the right address for the problems that you are facing.
He cannot do that.
Not Berlin.
No. Yeah. I don't think that Berlin is saying, regarding financial aid, yes, Turkey would have to go to IMF. But we are forgetting something. After 20th of July 2017, the German government implemented some economic, we cannot call it sanctions, but it doesn't give the economic support it used to give. Mm-hmm. So Erdogan is requesting to have those funds again, foreign direct investments. These are serious issues. I think Erdogan would be happy to get these. We will have to wait and see if the Merkel government will be ready to have transactional relations, which could be dangerous for Erdogan, because I don't think, although he always mentions customs union, for example, is a serious modernizing customs union, which we would have to talk about trade unions. We would have to talk about public procurement. These are serious issues where you would need rule of law anyway. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he will move in that direction, because that would, I mean, he wouldn't have his power. He would lose his power. So I think he will try to convince the German government by the refugee issue to give some financial support. Maybe in some years we will hear somewhere that the German government actually did give some support. I don't have any information on that, but I think that's the first target. He doesn't want the EU process. That's not realistic.
Maximilian, you are nodding.
Yeah, I agree, and I would bring it down to one sentence. The core of the problem is Erdogan himself and the way he governs this country, and the economic crisis has a few other reasons, a few global developments that were accelerating it, but it comes down to the way Erdogan is governing. And the problem here is he might get some support from Germany, he might get some support from others, from
but
Qatar.
But what will he offer in
but
return?
The thing is, the problem, that what he can offer is quite limited, because he cannot make too many compromises on his authoritarian way of governing, because that will eventually threaten his power. Mm-hmm. So the concessions he can make, I believe, are quite limited. That doesn't mean that Germany should do whatever it can to push for these concessions, but it would be an illusion to think that Erdogan will make a fundamental change in his style again, because that is how he built his power for over 16 years.
The West, says the prominent Turkish author Ahmet Altan in a German newspaper this past weekend, says the West should support Turkey but must in return demand a return to democracy and the rule of law. That's the statement that everybody is sharing in advance of this. That's the big hope that people have. You have just called it an illusion.
Yeah, well, I agree to the statement, though. Mm. I just think there will be no... Schröder called it once the lupenreine Demokratie,
yeah,
like
a full-scale
democracy.
Yeah.
Under Erdogan, I think that is an illusion. That doesn't mean that progress cannot be made and should not be made. I think there can be, it's reachable to make some progress on certain fields when it comes to rule of law, when it comes to the anti-terror laws, when it comes to the role of the constitutional court. I think there are certain steps, and I just don't believe that that Erdogan will be like this full-scale democrat he once claimed to be. He maybe has never been that democrat.
Before we bring Dilek in just a second, what about relations between Chancellor Angela Merkel and the Turkish president? The two leaders go back a long way to 2003. I think that's when they first met. That's a decade and a half ago. These days, he has the power to blackmail her over the refugee deal with the EU. But she, meanwhile, has the power to humiliate him by continuing to block Turkey's EU ambitions, if they still have those ambitions. That's a bit unclear. Dilek, tell us a little bit more about... It's a complex relationship between Merkel and Erdogan. You know, tell us a little bit more about it and what we can hope for at best.
It is indeed. And I think a reminder is necessary about Merkel's stance on a very critical time in Turkey's, you know, sort of democracy. When she came to power, together with Sarkozy, she categorically opposed Turkey's membership to the EU. Not because Turkey didn't fulfill the criteria, which was true, of course, but just from a sort of a very principled position that Turkey just didn't belong to EU. And that was a big mistake, because at that time, Erdogan was actually fulfilling, you know, taking positive steps. And we, the Democrats in Turkey, we needed Germany's support. I think that should not be forgotten. She's not necessarily a friend of, you know, she's also a very pragmatic political leader. She thinks about her own political future, and the refugee deal reflects that. Having said that, about the economic crisis, I do want to emphasize, you know, the Erdogan and his government, they're acting like a lazy student, you know, like a spoiled child. Mm-hmm. When things go fine, he claims he all the credit to himself and to his government. And when things go wrong, he blames everybody else. That Turkey's in economic crisis, it's his own fault. And I find it actually appalling to hear from German high-level politicians, including SPD leadership, that Germany should actually help Turkey. It is his policies of disrespecting the independence of the central bank, etc. I mean, you can name it. That has caused this crisis, and he has to pay the price at home, especially for this. So I think and the EU accession process, it's still, Turkey will never be a member, the whole process is stalled, but the fact that Turkey is still an accession country still matters in terms of attracting foreign direct investment,
etc. It's not dead and buried.
Well, it is dead and buried, but I think it is. Mm-hmm. But what matters for EU, for Erdogan, is the prestige, right? So this red carpet matters, that Turkey is an accession country. The status itself matters. Nice word matter, etc. He likes that. He needs that. And I think it is. I actually think the red carpet is a mistake. He is, you know, he should actually, this moment should be really used by the German government to sort of name and shame him, really, and to put whatever pressure can be put. And I think the German government and the European leaders should not underestimate their power over Erdogan and Turkey. Turkey relies on Germany. It's not the other way around.
Germany has a lot of power over Recep Tayyip Erdogan. You're shaking your head.
I mean, of course, Germany is a very important EU country. But we shouldn't underestimate Turkey either. I mean, it's difficult for me as a journalist, Turkish journalist, to talk like this. It will sound very pragmatic. But the reality is that the constitutional referendum is over. Erdogan is the president. He is the strongest man in Turkey. He is the only man that foreign political leaders can talk to. He is only the lonely. He is weak. He is isolated. And it's a good momentum to talk with him. But we know how Erdogan can be, and I think the way the German government is trying to manage it in a pragmatic way hurts me as a Turkish journalist, offends me on certain issues. But it's foreign policy. You don't have foes or friends. This doesn't work like this. You have to figure out long-term solutions. And I agree with you on the EU issue. The EU membership is not on the table anymore, but the EU path, customs union, increasing economic cooperation. If Erdogan needs it, you know, he was the one who messed up the relationships with the West, and now he wants to find a way to overcome it. So let him come and let him talk and let him say what he expects. I mean, this is the way international politics works. But as I agree with both of you, yes, it has to be made clear, but who is talking about human rights? Does Trump talk? Does the West talk about human rights? What about Council of Europe?
Trump is doing all he possibly can to get an American pastor who's been in a Turkish prison for the last couple of years released as soon as possible.
That's
an ugly trade
war. I think it's terrible that the pastor is in prison in Turkey, but there are a lot of people in prison in Turkey right now. So when you look at it from an angle, from purely strategic, you know, my citizen is in prison in Turkey. I mean, he will be released soon. I personally think he will be released soon. Is it over? I mean, and we should not forget just one last thing. You know, America is different than the EU. Turkish-American relationships are transactional relationship based on security, blah, blah. EU-Turkey relationships are completely different, and Turkey is an EU's neighborhood and has a responsibility and has to take responsibility to what is going on there.
I guess that's the way. I mean, you mentioned that word, and I think it's the right one, transactional. I think that is what it has to come down now in the European-Turkish and German-Turkish relationships as well. It has to be purely transactional. You get something if you give something, and that is, I think, the message Merkel has to send to Erdogan right now.
Okay, what is the headline going to be at the end of this meeting when Mr. Erdogan is back in Ankara or Istanbul What is that?
Depends which newspaper you read.
Well, give me an idea. We've got a minute to go. I need a headline.
In Turkish, in Turkish newspapers, it definitely is going to be Erdogan's successful state visit to Germany, and everyone loves him out there. and in Germany, it's going to be it stays complicated.
Dilek, a headline?
Oh, I hate to speculate. well, I just hope, I do want to see some critical headlines here. And, you know, as a human rights lawyer and a Turkish citizen, this talk about geostrategy and transactions, etc., it really, I want to hear about principles and values.
Okay, and our main question on the show today, Erdogan, friend or foe, what would you say to
him? He is not. I mean,
it's,
I cannot. I'm not the right person to answer. He is the president of a country.
I can hear the music. Thanks very much for joining us on Quadriga. Do come back as soon as possible. We'd love to have you. Bye bye and cheers.